Welcome to today's edition of the Rush Limbaugh Show podcast.
Welcome. Welcome back to the Rush Limbaugh Show, 800-282-2882. My name is Ken. I'll be your guide today. I was all revved up with our first segment, and then sadly, we got some breaking news out of San Jose, California, where there was a shooting at the light rail yard. It's part of the VTA for people in that neck of the woods, the Valley Transportation Authority. And the sheriff's department in Santa Clara County says the shooter is down. The shooter is dead. There is no definitive number on others that are injured or dead. We're waiting for that information. The split second we get it, we will share it with you. Another unfortunate situation. Mercury News also confirms that multiple people are dead, along with ABC News out of San Jose. So we will cover that as it expands, as the story expands. In the meantime, it's always a pleasure to be here. It's nice to see you again on a Wednesday in the middle of the week. Feels like a Monday to me, but a good Monday. 800-282-2882. A lot to talk about today, and so much that the news media has been ignoring. That has been... I was just talking to one of our team, and I said, you know, if CNN and MSNBC is not covering it, you know it's probably a big story. If it has to do with Biden or the border, or in this case, the fact that, and what's so fascinating about this Biden team and their reaction to the Wuhan story, many people, including myself, researched this, and we followed, since the very beginning, we followed this connection to Wuhan. And when you trace it back, it connects to all kinds of interesting things, the National Institute of Health, the NIH, which is run by Fauci. And now we're finding out from the New York Post that the Biden regime shut down the State Department inquiry probing possible links to the Wuhan lab. Now, that's another example of this must be a pretty big story, because you know that's how the left rolls. If they say we should investigate just to make sure there's not a problem, and they say no investigation, vote for vote, you know there's something going on. And they ended it. And it's interesting because I was just reading somebody, and I don't want to quote them, because they're in an office in Washington, D.C., and they said, it's interesting because every single time President Donald J. Trump tried to get to the bottom of anything, liberals came in and shut it down. We're not going to examine that. We're not going to count that. We're not going to announce that. We're not going to look into that. By the way, give me Hunter Biden's laptop. What'd you do? Shredded it. I don't know if it's been shredded. I just know it's been covered up. So this is part of it. And I found this quote, too. That's fascinating to me. And this is the Washington Post. Reporter Aaron Blake, a Washington Post senior reporter. The corporate press spent the better part of a year calling the lab leak theory a conspiracy because President Donald Trump talked about it. And this is according to a Washington Post senior reporter, who now is probably going to be getting all kinds of nasty Twitter posts, because that's usually what happens. Anytime a leftist reporter stumbles onto the truth, there's hell to pay. She says, I love this example too. Giving everything we know about how Trump handled such things, caution and skepticism were invited. What? That caution and skepticism spilled over into some oversimplification, particularly when it came to summarizing the often more circumspect reporting. You talk about a crock of poop. Holy moly. Doesn't sound like a reporter. It sounds like a lobbyist or a consultant for a political candidate. Here's the bottom line. The leader of the free world had intel, and he indicated that over a year ago, this virus was leaked from a Wuhan lab, either by accident or on purpose. And the news media didn't want to talk about it. That's the real issue right there. And then you have Biden covering up the report. It's really become ridiculous. And I think people are on to it. I really do. And I'm glad, and it was very recent. In fact, it was right in the middle of this mess a year ago that Rush listed all the coronavirus taboos you couldn't talk about.
My friends, have you noticed all of the taboo subjects that we were not supposed to dare mention? That if we did mention these taboo subjects, that it was proof that we were conspiracy theorists, that we were kooks, that we were wackos, that we were nuts, that we were off into conspiracy land. All of these taboo subjects, not supposed to mention. It was nothing more than an effort to get us to suppress the truth, to shame us, to embarrass, into not discussing the truth of all this. Because what's happening now, all of these formerly taboo subjects that we were not supposed to dare mention are now becoming objects of concern in the mainstream, despite the efforts of the left to censure discussion of these subjects. For example, the Wuhan lab mystery. In other words, the origin of the coronavirus. Oh, no, 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 no. It didn't happen in the lab. No, no, if you think it happened in the lab, you're a nut. If you think it happened in the lab, then you probably think our friends, the Chinese, weaponized it as a bioweapon. That's dangerous. That's irresponsible, said the media, said the Democrat Party, said the Washington, D.C. establishment. You are a kook if you think that this virus happened in a lab. This virus came from the wet markets. This virus came because the Chi-Coms will eat anything because they're starving. They will eat live bats. They will eat live snakes. And that's where this virus came from. And you better stick to it. But there were people who persisted and said, no, we know of a lab worker in December who tried to warn everybody. He had discovered the virus. He is dead. Others were aware of his work, and now, after attempting to warn the world, they have disappeared. But even with all of that, mentioning that coronavirus came from a lab in Wuhan, very taboo. You a kook, you are a nut. Oh, that's another taboo. You can't be critical of the World Health Organization. How dare you? If you're critical of the World Health Organization, you really are a kook. You're a wacko right-wing kook. You are a nutcase. Shut up. You can't talk about the world. Folks, every one of these subjects on which you and I were right and on which they attempted to suppress us, intimidate us from talking about them because they didn't want the truth out, every one of them now, every one of them slowly becoming objects of concern. The virus did start in the lab, and the World Health Organization helped the Chi-Com suppress the news.
Here comes the truth. Now, the question is, will the news media be able to keep a lid? It's like a dam, and there's so many holes in it. You've got all these people running around trying to plug the holes, all the late-night TV people. They're trying to plug the holes, and you've got all these analysts and researchers and doctors who made fools of themselves with incorrect information. They're trying to plug the holes. I got to tell you, though, a day doesn't go by where I don't hear a Rush Limbaugh soundbite and he cracks me up. And that's why so many people loved him. When he said, they'll eat anything. They don't have any food. That's one of the funniest lines. Can you imagine if Saturday Night Live could write like this? They'd have an audience now. They eat snakes and live bats. But that was so true. And I remember when President Donald J. Trump, he's the one that beat the smartest woman in the world back in 2016, Hillary. And do you remember when at the press conference, the news media tried to shame him into not saying China virus or the China flu? Remember that? That's the funniest thing about the news media. They really believe that you can shame Mitt Romney. You can shame Chris Christie. You can shame Mitch McConnell. You can't shame Donald Trump. If it's true, he's moving forward with it. And they're like, don't you think, Mr. President, that this is, this is racist? Because you have to mention racist in every conversation with a liberal, or they do. And he said, no. I say China because it came from China. Remember, he started saying China? And then we all started saying China. But it's true. And this is what's so... There's a silver lining to this, something else I discussed in our meeting this morning. I said, the silver lining to 2020 and the first part of 2021, first of all, for the last 4 months, we learn every day what a great job President Donald J. Trump did. All you have to do is tune into a Biden press conference and you're like, oh, what happened? Now, in 2020, the American awakening started and we started seeing the conflicting narratives within the Republican Party, within the health industrial complex, within the government, people started realizing, I don't think some of these people have a clue. So that's the blessing in disguise. We might even weave that into some of the show today because there is an awakening going on across the country, not just with the China virus, but a lot of other things as well. I'm Ken Matthews. We'll be right back on the EIB Network. 800-282-2882. The Rush Limbaugh Show. My name is Ken Matthews. I am your guide today. And very quickly, we were talking about, just to wrap it up quick, because we have the stack of stuff is enormous today. I just noticed that, I don't know if you saw this, and I'm glad he's okay. I really like Senator Rand Paul. But he received a package. I don't know if you saw this. It was a security issue, a package of white powder. And they were all worried it might be some, crazy virus thing. But it turned out it was addressed to Hunter Biden. Here we go. Yeah, I was waiting to try that. I could add laughter to it on my show in Harrisburg. I'll add a laugh track. Did you see what's going on with the George Floyd thing? Yesterday, there were memorials, there were speeches, lots of windbaggery, lots of celebrating the domestic terrorist organization that I believe is BLM. And the interesting thing about yesterday, because this was the anniversary of the tragic death of George Floyd, and President Biden had hoped to mark the day by signing a police reform bill. You may remember that he spoke of that. He said, in a year from now, we will have a reform bill. But lawmakers continue to negotiate the terms of the legislation. And this is according to David Johns, the executive director of the National Black Justice Coalition. Translation, the Democrats can't get jack done. They've got everything. Think about it. The Democrats are part of Black Lives Matter. They own the media. They have a majority in the Senate, a majority in the House. I don't know what they have in the Oval Office. I wouldn't call that a majority. That could be a detriment. But anyway, they have the Oval Office, and they still can't get what was, it was the jewel in the crown of what they were running on. Police are bad. We have to defund the police. The police are so horrible. Systemic racism, whatever they call it. And it's unfortunate. Now, I don't know if you were watching the live coverage yesterday, but it was awkward and truly nothing funny about it. If anything, it was irony. And thank God no one was hurt. But as they're at a place where George Floyd, they're at that corner where the tragedy occurred. They're covering the George Floyd situation, the 1 year anniversary of his death. And gunfire erupts. I counted 28 shots. No, really. It was really gunfire. And some of the journalists ran and took cover, and I just thought, you can't make this up. You can't make it up. You cannot make it up. That's the irony of defunding the police, demonizing the police, making the bad guys look good and the good guys look bad. I don't know if you saw last night, Portland police declared a riot. Fires were set, windows were smashed, arrests were made. And this was, according to the people rioting, to recognize George Floyd's death. Here's what's being overlooked with this. Do you realize how quickly that whole incident was adjudicated? How quickly justice was done? Within 2 weeks, the law enforcement officer who was convicted of murdering him, second-degree murder, he was arrested within 2 weeks. And in addition to that, the city gave George Floyd's family, they won a lawsuit for $27 million. And then from what I understand, they got another $8 million off a GoFundMe page. So how can you say with a straight face there's no justice in America? You had a black convicted felon that was unjustifiably killed. Within 2 weeks, the law enforcement person that did it was fired, charged, and now he's going to prison probably for the rest of his life. What's the beef? That's what we're trying to figure that out. What's the beef? I would call that a success story if I was Black Lives Matter. And that's why a lot of us don't believe Black Lives Matter is that legit. My question has always been, which Black Lives Matter matter to Black Lives Matter? That's always the question. Are you trying to shove a political agenda down our throat? Or are you trying to get justice for people? Here's Randy Sutton. He's a former Las Vegas police lieutenant.
All we're hearing is, let's take away qualified immunity. Let's make it easier to prosecute. Let's do everything negative against the police, including what I'm calling the left's 3D or triple D leftist agenda towards destroying its law enforcement. And that is defunding, dehumanizing, and demoralizing American law enforcement officers.
Extremely well said. All you have to do is look across America now. Start with the blue cities. See how things are going. Here's Rush with The War on Cops.
I would now call this book essential. Heather McDonald, The War on Cops, which will help you find it. That's really all you need. But the full title is How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everybody Less Safe. Then there was a study by the New York Police Department by the former acting director of the National Institute of Justice found that black officers in the New York Police Department were 3.3 times more likely to use their guns at shooting scenes than white officers. So, A, officers are more hesitant about shooting armed black suspects than armed white suspects, to the point where now there's a risk that officers are hesitating so long that they may put their own lives at risk. The Black Lives Matter mean that this is all about white officers attacking unarmed blacks. Simply not true. And that's the bottom line here. Everything everybody believes isn't true. They think Ferguson, Missouri happens every day, and it does not. But we do know that in Ferguson, they created a totally false narrative. Hands up, don't shoot, never happened. And yet, how many people in this country, minorities, believe that it did to this day? Now, how is that possible? And my contention is that we have a political party that's seeking to benefit from all of this. A political party, the Democrats, are seeking to advance their agenda with every one of these unfortunate incidents. And if that is the case, it isn't going to stop. When you see people trying to benefit from these really horrible, sad, these rip the guts out of every American's body when these kinds of things. Nobody wants to see this, but there are people that profit from it or try to, and that makes it even more sickening in a political sense.
We're realizing now, sad but true. This is sad but true. By the way, Heather McDonald, who wrote that book, I read that book the week it came out. She's a brilliant journalist. If you want to see what journalism looks like, and this is to some of the liberal journalists tuning in, you should read some Heather McDonald. She's over at the City Journal. She's written great books. She has a great article out today. Just Google it. But Rush was on top of this, and that was the perfect guest and the perfect interview because she writes about how the left keeps chipping away at everything that encourages the good guy to be good. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining the show again today. Hope you're having a good week. By the way, speaking of Senator Rand Paul, whom I'm a big fan of, an amendment by Rand Paul barring the National Institute of Health from funding certain types of research in China passed in the Senate amid the new debate on the origin of COVID-19. And the interesting thing about this is now it appears some of the news media is taking an interest in this. So we'll see what happens. And about Senator Rand Paul, have you been seeing the threats he's been getting just because he questioned Dr. Tony Fauci like a grown-up? He questioned him like a grown-up. That's how the highest paid man in the government should be questioned. Dr. Anthony Fauci has the highest salary in the United States government. I don't know if you knew that. Maybe you heard it before. And when you have that much coin and you have that much responsibility where you can shut down a nursery school in Birmingham or shut down a football game in Detroit, then you better be able to handle the questions. But apparently he wasn't able to, and the left came to his defense and started to attack Rand Paul, which is standard fare. I mean, it's not the first time. He's a tough guy. So I don't know if you saw that now Republican leaders, and we brought this up before, that what was happening at the border was bad for children, bad for women, bad for little kids. Horrible. I don't know if you know, but 2 weeks ago, they closed two of the detention centers because there was so much abuse and mismanagement because bad people were getting into the mix. Something that a lot of people are, this is not being reported on. Don't you think there's the occasional cartel member that ends up in one of these detention centers? The occasional 16 or 17 or maybe even 18-year-old cartel member. And the cartel pretty much runs the border for the most part, at least on the southern side. Some people think on the northern side. And now Republican leaders are calling for transparency after reports of migrant youth traveling through Tennessee. You might be thinking, well, how'd they get to Tennessee? Well, you'd have to ask the Biden regime, because the Biden regime provides the children with a backpack, medical care. They get, this is true, they get Kamala Harris's book for free. You know, I don't think it's for free. I think it's $17.99, and I think you and I are paying for it. I still haven't gotten an answer to that. I'm trying to get someone to answer that, but that's what the kids get. They get a backpack, they get toiletries, and, you know, the whole back-to-school kind of thing. And then they get tickets to travel away from the border, sometimes on an aircraft, sometimes on a bus. So they can meet sponsors, and I don't know what a sponsor is, really. I know for a while in California, they were not vetting sponsors because they said there was such an overwhelming amount of illegal children coming over the border. We don't have time to background check sponsors. That's really crazy because you have plenty of time to kick me off Facebook because I'm pro-Trump. You have time to background check everybody that was at the January 6th rally. But for some reason, you're unable to vet adequately a 40-year-old single man who shows up and says, you know, I can take those little boys and girls with me. I got a van. Again, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm sure Biden is doing everything the Democrats hoped he would do, and that's why you voted for him. Biden just scrapped plans to house, this is the term he used, tender-age migrant children at a Texas Army base. He may have stumbled onto making a good decision there. Again, stranger things have happened. Usually when liberals make a good decision, it's because they tripped or they fell or they were out of their mind. But that's a good decision. Little children should not be in certain spaces. They have no business. A five-year-old little girl who's terrified has no business in the same holding facility with a 13-year-old guy or young boy or man, a 13-year-old teen, from a neighboring country or even from the same country. Now, whoever thought that worked, well, they're idiots. And that's understandable considering who's in the Biden administration. They're also reining in street-level enforcement by ICE. I have this great comment. This is, here we go. President Joe Biden has effectively abolished the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency through heavy restrictions on its operations, according to several ICE officers who do not want to be identified. And I can understand why you wouldn't want to be identified. Because right now, the Biden administration is combing through the United States Marines and the United States Army and the other great branches of our brave military, and they're cherry-picking people to shift their jobs or remove them based on their political ideology. ICE deportations numbered an all-time low last month. Only 2,962 illegal immigrants returned to their home countries. Plummeting immigration enforcement is a result of new policies by the Biden regime implemented that restrict who qualifies for deportation and what actions Immigration and Customs Enforcement is authorized to take. And this is from the Washington Post. So you know it must be true. Let's go to, well, let me set this up for you, because there's about seven people in the media today that actually have the guts to be in the media today. Peter Ducey's one of them. He asks great questions, and he pursues them, and he does it with professionalism and sometimes even works in a little humor. Sounds to me like he was probably a Rush listener for a long time, Peter Ducey. But he asked Biden press secretary, Little Red Lionhood, many people know her as Jen Psaki, yesterday in a press conference. The governor of Tennessee says that he was asked, and he declined, a Biden administration request to house unaccompanied minors. And in recent days, there have been some reports that at least four planes filled with unaccompanied minors and accompanied minors landed in the state. Some in the middle of the night. Can you explain what's going on here?
The children traveling have been traveling through Tennessee. They are simply on their way to unite with relatives and sponsors, to meet sponsors in the state, or just traveling through Tennessee until they reach another destination to unite with family members or legal sponsors.
Whew. She's so ho-hum about it. I mean, what a ridiculous question. Don't you have illegal foreign nationals landing in your state in the dark of night without any identification? You might if you're a blue state. We had that stuff going on in Pennsylvania, and that's where I'm broadcasting from today, Central PA. We had that going on during Obamianism. And people would call me that worked at the airport anonymously, and they would say, you're not going to believe what happened last night. We saw a plane load. It looked like a brown plane, just a solid plane, and I don't want to say it was UPS, because it wasn't, but that's what they said. They said it looked like a UPS plane, but it wasn't. It had that kind of innocuous look to it. And illegals were coming in. So this is exactly what the Biden administration is doing, which makes total sense, because Susan Rice and Barack Obama are, along with John Kerry, who, as you know, as Rush pointed out so adequately, was a Vietnam veteran. They're advising Biden. So don't be surprised that you're getting all this Obama replay stuff. It's terrible for America, but it's kind of scary. But don't be surprised, because we knew this was going to happen. Here's Tennessee Senator Bill Hagerty.
I'm pushing hard for transparency on this, and the Biden administration is blocking us. You notice that they move these planes in the dead of night. They're coming in both by commercial airlines as well as private air. And the planes that we found out about, at least, are landing after midnight. They're dispersing the people that are coming in. Are these people vaccinated? Have they been vetted? What sort of people are moving through the state? We're seeing more flow of illegal drugs, more human trafficking. Our law enforcement is being overwhelmed in Tennessee, and we've had more deaths from fentanyl poisoning since this border crisis has occurred. That's why I went down to Guatemala and Mexico 3 weeks ago now to get to the bottom of this. And the Biden administration has yet to send Kamala Harris there.
You know, it's interesting. She's the She's the border czar, the immigration czar. Rush was always pointing out that the Democrats are actually the party conducting a war on women and everything else. Here he is.
The political party that is conducting a war on women is the one party fighting sex trafficking. They say we have been conducting a war on women, the Republicans. We're the ones trying to stop the mistreatment of women, sex trafficking. We're trying to stop human trafficking, clean things up at the border. The Democrats, the hypocrisy is rampant. It's on parade. Democrats, look what they're constantly in the news for now. They're constantly in the news for sexual abuse of women. They have no interest in fighting sex trafficking at the southern border. You know, I know a war on women when I see one. And the Democrat Party is conducting a war on women just like they're conducting a war on babies. They are conducting a war on jobs. They are conducting a war on affordable energy. They are conducting a war on economics. They are conducting a war on journalism. They are conducting a war on high-quality, affordable health insurance. This party is becoming, on a daily basis, observably so, exactly that which they claim the Republican Party is. And, of course, as a result, the Democrat Party is becoming and is conducting a never-ending war on the truth.
Bingo. There it is again. The truth. And that is how the Democrats stay in control. If you ever wonder, why are they against so many things that we the people are for? It's to control we the people. You know, Rush saw cell phones as one of the great inventions in the past two decades. Just stop for a moment and consider all that you can do with a cell phone in your hand. You might be listening to this show on your phone. But how do you use that much data without getting a huge monthly cell phone bill? You switch to PureTalk with a flat $30 a month charge for all that. When Rush discovered PureTalk last year, he detailed it all for us. It went like this.
You shop for the best price you can find on insurance, on home mortgages, on vacation travel, maybe even cheeseburgers. I don't know. So why not do the same thing with cellular phone service? Your cell phone number is your own, and who you choose for cellular service is all up to you. One company makes such a compelling offer, it's worth thinking about. It's Pure Talk. They offer you unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And guess what? If you go over on the data, they don't charge you for it. Pure Talk. Compare that monthly price, $30 a month, to your current cell phone bill, and you'll see why it makes sense to change. Now, I don't know what your cell phone bill is, but I would wager you that it's $60 or more, maybe $120, maybe $75 or more. This outfit, Pure Talk, is offering you unlimited talk, unlimited text, and 6 gigs of data for $30 a month. Now, Pure Talk knows they're in the same business with the likes of AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile. In fact, get this. They use the same cell towers of one of the big companies that covers 99% of the country. They offer superior service. 100% of the Pure Talk customer support team is right here in America. So you make one phone call to them today, you can start to save money by switching to Pure Talk. All you do is get your cell phone and dial #250. Next, you say Pure Talk. It's that simple. You'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250 and then say Pure Talk. One of the Pure Talk customer service people will be right there on the phone to help you. And by the way, it's legit. $30 a month, unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Rush Limbaugh Show on the EIB Network. My name's Ken Matthews. I'm your guide today. There's a new episode. It's out today in the podcast series, Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden microphone, Bo Snerdly, has created a great series of stories told by our beloved Rush to share. It's one episode after another. There are 12 episodes in all that are planned. The third episode is out today for you to enjoy, and it's brought to you by Tunnel to Towers Foundation and My Pillows. My Pillow, great sponsors of this awesome podcast series. You can download and listen today. Go to rushlimbaugh.com for more info. In the meantime, I don't know. I think we're going to hold off. I was going to take a call, but I don't want to shortchange this person. I don't know if I can squeeze it in. But I want to go back to the border for just a second. Keep in mind how comfortable the left has been with the border problems for the last four decades. So what we're seeing now is the culmination of, as Rush warned, hardcore conservatives, there's about five left on Capitol Hill, as conservatives warned on Capitol Hill that if the Democrats ever got to a point where they had total control, or at least they think they do, they're going to push all the stuff that we've been discussing. They're going to say, open the border. What's the big deal? Give people amnesty. What's the big deal? And we used to warn people. We used to say, you know what? If Kamala Harris ever gets into the White House, even if it is just to, you know, help Joe out from time to time, put a sentence together, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. One more thing. An inside source told me, and he's been on the border for many years, that some of the best mules for drugs are young, scared, unaccompanied children. And they get a shiny new backpack from the Biden regime, and they don't get background checked. They get put on a bus to the city of whatever destination, the destination of the cartel's choice, and voila, they can now move drugs over the border even more easily now because the border's open, and they've got all these children that the Democrats are waving through. Something to think about. We'll be right back. You might be saying, is there any way we can make the corporate media infrastructure bigger and even more biased? Yes, there is. Amazon is buying MGM, you know, James Bond and Rocky, that film studio, for $8.45 billion. That number's so big, I don't even know how to read it. I'm going to go with almost $8.5 billion. This gives them access. So Amazon has access to the whole library, but they also now can spin things the way they want. That's going to be fun. It's going to be woke. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Rush Limbaugh Show on the EIB Network. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. Hope you're having a good week so far. I know since it's Wednesday, a lot of management have already, they've already left the building for the Memorial Day weekend. You know how that goes. We always used to make a joke about that because one of our managers would leave for a three-day weekend about 4 days early. He would do his answering machine message like Friday. So he would say, hey, it's
Friday, whatever. I'm out for the three-day weekend. I'll be back on Monday.
But he does that message on to. Anyway, obviously, I'm not going to mention his name. Jobs are hard to come by right now. 800-282-2882 is the number. One of the most devastating pieces of leftist propaganda, and there's so much that has poured forth from the Democrat Party. It just pick a topic that has messed with students' minds, that has poisoned the child mind. Think about it. All the different topics, most of them based on emotion, most of them unproven, or in the case of critical race theory, a complete distortion designed to start controlling the opinion of themselves, these kids, and to start manipulating how they should feel about children that don't look like them when they're in first grade or sometimes earlier. Now, Andrew Guttman writes for The Hill, and about a month ago, he mailed a letter to all the parents of his daughter's New York City private school. And he asked them to speak up against the school administration, illiberal is what he called it, illiberal, not liberal, and indoctrinating anti-racism initiatives and divisive obsession with race, that letter went viral. And it helped bring about much-needed attention to the explosive adoption of critical race theory throughout the country. I am thrilled to see this article by Andrew Guttman. And Andrew's not the only one. Other people without his media profile that you wouldn't know or see in print have raised these concerns throughout the country. People are stepping up to the plate. They're showing up at the school board meetings. And from Tennessee to... And I don't want to get the wrong states. There's about five other ones that have banned critical race theory. I know in Pennsylvania we have a bill that just went through the House to ban it. And what I like about this article, and I'll put it, I'm sure it'll be on rushlimbaugh.com. I'll also put it on gab.com/Ken Matthews, is because this is not a conservative person writing this. And there's a myth, and Andrew describes it perfectly. There appears to be widespread belief that the opposition to critical race theory is a view held solely by the political right. This perception is wrong. It is true that the conservative media has almost exclusively embraced viewpoints unfavorable to critical race theory, while the liberal media has been overwhelmingly approving. But, Andrew goes on to say in The Hill, our polarized media does not seem to accurately reflect the view of most Americans. That is one of the greatest comments made by someone on the left ever. Our polarized media does not seem to accurately reflect the view of most Americans. You think? Since my letter became public, I received several thousand supportive emails and messages from people across the country, including many from self-described Democrats and liberals. The tone of most of the message sent to me is not at all political. Instead, the tenure from these parents is one of desperation and powerlessness. I have received emails from parents expressing devastation that their kids as young as 5 years old are coming home from school after being taught to feel guilty solely because of the color of their skin. I've read this curriculum, and we have two. Thank God one of them's out of high school already, and the other one's going to be a senior next year. My wife and I have two sons, and this critical race theory is such a load of propaganda. This could be written by Lenin, and it's dangerous and it's damaging. And what the news media has done, and organizations like Black Lives Matter and the ACLU and the Democrat Party, what they've done is said, well, if you push back on critical race theory, you're a racist. Have you heard that one before? I know, it's a good one, huh? They use it with everything. It's called the race card. But they've maxed out their race card. There's no credit left on it. Their wallets are empty now, as ours will soon be under a communist regime. But that's for another day. So you take this individual, wrote a letter, it goes viral because the parents shared it. What people realize when they communicate with each other, that we have more in common than not. This is why the Democrats and the news media don't want Americans communicating with each other. That's why censorship is at an all-time high. That's why you're banned from all these different platforms. They don't want the father in New York talking to the mother and father in Idaho. They don't want that conversation happening. Oh my gosh, we've got the same problem here. I know, it's so destructive to the children. It's so anti-American. I know. Nobody wants that conversation. The news media and the Democrat Party need to keep you as a liberal and me as a conservative going at it. They can't afford for us to sit down and have a beer and realize that probably 7 out of 10 major topics we agree on, whether it's the border or taxes or whatever. And this is all part of it. So this goes back to what we mentioned at the top of the hour today. There is an American awakening. And I am so thrilled to see people on the left identifying policies of the left and calling them out. That's so refreshing because we do that on the right all the time. I mean, I can't stand a third of the Republicans in D.C. We do it on the right all the time, but it's nice to see the left saying, wow, this is a crappy policy. We should do something about it. And I believe something's going to be done about it because all these state assemblies are now, you know, they're jumping to action, which is good. Florida Senator Marco Rubio was on Fox this morning, and he pointed out that we're teaching a generation of kids all the wrong things.
Here's what I think we should be teaching people at universities. I think we should be teaching them engineering. I think we should be teaching them biology. I think we should be teaching them science, engineering, math, other technological fields. I think we should be teaching people the skills they need to find a good-paying job and contribute to their community, their families, and their country in the 21st century. That's why we have universities. That's why we have college degrees, not to train a generation of cultural Marxist activists, but to train people so they can go out and find jobs that are good for them, good for their families, right, and good for the country. Why the American taxpayer should be subsidizing teaching our young students how to hate America, how to hate everything about our history, why we should be spending taxpayer money to teach these things that are destructive, not to mention untrue, is beyond me.
Wait until more Americans find out that this is actually part of the plan, because if you get all levels of education on board with your propaganda, by the time they get into the workplace, it's memorized. And if you approach them with anything else, they think you're a lunatic or a racist. Courtney Stokes, a former teacher from Georgia, another state that just banned critical race theory. Kudos to Georgia. Wow, Georgia has woken up a lot, huh? Man, and you didn't think that would happen because Stacey Abrams is running around screaming at everybody. But they said, hey, Stacey, quiet. We're going to think for ourselves. So anyway, Courtney Stokes said the objective is 180 degrees out of phase, and it only serves to further divide.
Critical race theory is a divisive ideology. It's intended to segregate our children. It's intended to divide them into affinity groups. They are oppressors or they are the oppressed. It focuses on collective guilt. If you're white, we're going to white shame you. We're going to make you atone for your white privilege. And also, it's, you know, it's very much neo-segregation.
Wow. And this is really cool. We actually have a soundbite from Andrew Guttman. He wrote the open letter to parents expressing his concerns. This is the one that I just quoted from in The Hill, at how pervasive it has become in school curriculums.
I had no idea how entrenched and pervasive this critical race theory and this anti-racism initiatives were in our schools across the country. I knew it was in New York City independent schools. I knew it was in some California schools. I had no idea it was in public, private, religious schools, really in all 50 states. And that's really the scary part.
And that is one of the reasons social media and the censorship and people being banned on social media is so detrimental to the future of this country and the direction we go in. Because if Andrew wants to speak to Steve in Chicago or Texas, he could go on social media and he could say, hey, what's your history teacher doing about this? And that's why the Democrats want social media to censor things that they don't agree with. A couple years ago, Rush predicted the New York Times had finally jumped the shark when it came to the 1619 Project.
Folks, the corruption of so much now is official with the leftist agenda. And none of it is based in fact. None of it is based in truth. Every aspect of it is geared toward lying, exaggerating in order to further the political agenda because their agenda is wrong. They simply cannot rely on day-to-day facts to move their agenda forward. They have to make it all up, like the New York Times rewriting the founding of America to be the year 1619 and to say that everything that's happened in this country since, including and especially the great things that have happened, have all been illegitimate because they happened on the backs of slaves and slavery. I think the New York Times has jumped the shark on this. There are millions of people who have no idea that the New York Times is now a left-wing house organ. There are millions of Americans who think that the New York Times is the epitome of classic, unbiased, objective journalism. Do not doubt me on this. Now, you may sound unbelievable. Rush, how can any reasonable, critically thinking human being realize that? Well, the answer is years and years and years of branding. But this, to go so over the top in trying now to rewrite the history of the founding, there's nothing about this that is journalism. And this is going to cause the New York Times more problems than I think they can fathom.
You know, it's an indisputable fact. An ounce of gold in the last couple of years' time has grown 35% in value. And that's because there's only so much gold in the world. And as our nation prints more and more dollars, some people question the value of our dollar in the future. Will we see inflation this year? A lot of people think so. You know, the best way to hedge against inflation, don't you? You invest in gold and other precious metals. Many Americans, just like you and I, are turning to a proven method to protect what we work so hard to earn, real gold. You can have real gold delivered privately and securely to your home, or have real gold put into your IRA or your 401k. Call the Oxford Gold Group. The number is 833-404-GOLD. Now, the Oxford Gold Group will teach you everything you want to know about owning real gold. It's a lot easier than you think. This is one of the few select sponsors the EIB has embraced in the past 3 months because they've passed all the tests and safeguards that Rush taught us to pay attention to. Excellent customer service, providing something of real value to you, and respecting this audience and program's long-standing relationship. I want you to call the Oxford Gold Group now at 833-404-GOLD to get your free precious metals investment guide. The Oxford Gold Group is here to help you protect your savings and retirement from the unknown. Call them now, 833-404-GOLD. One thing that the Democrat Party and the media has been consistent in is trying to take down President Donald J. Trump. And they, you know, can you imagine for a moment if Maxine Waters, you remember her famous quote, impeach 45, remember? She started yelling impeach 45 before he was even elected. Anyway, imagine if Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff for brains, imagine if they put the effort into working for you and me that they put into investigating and pontificating about the first true only insider that ended up, or I'm sorry, outsider, excuse me, that ended up inside the Oval Office. Think about the time they've spent. It's crazy. So now a new grand jury has been seated for the next stage of the Trump investigation. What is it? Well, something about business dealings or whatever. Whatever they can pull, as my dad would say, I'm not going to say it, pull out of their butt. They'll pull something out of their butt. Then the news media will run with it. Many people will believe it. And then the news media a few months later will go, sorry, we made a mistake on that, but it did the damage we needed it to do. This way, no one has to investigate Hunter Biden, Dominion voting machines, Joe Biden, China, Hillary. You get the idea. Here's Rush.
Well, here we are, folks. That is exactly, in a nutshell, what all of this is about. And the icing on the cake for these people would be impeaching Trump and convicting him, or waiting till he leaves office and then indicting him and sending him to jail then. And it's all been so predictable. It's all bad for Trump. Every bit of this has been bad for Trump from the get-go. Trump has been the sole target of all of this from the get-go. and going after all of these ancillary people like Cohen and Manafort and Papadopoulos. It has all been about Trump. And here we are with the Democrats on the verge of taking control of the House of Representatives, warned everybody what was going to happen if they won. Nothing but interminable investigations, interminable subpoenas. And while it is accurate to say that is highly doubtful any genuine criminal activity has occurred here, that's irrelevant to the objective, which is to get rid of Donald Trump. And as a byproduct, to tell each and every one of his supporters to don't ever do this again. To tell anybody who might like to try to run for president under the same techniques and principles that Trump did, don't you try it. This is what's going to happen to you. The whole idea has been to separate you who support Trump from him. The whole point of all of this has been to just flood the media each and every day with all of this negative news about Trump, be it stealing the election, being an immoral reprobate, has been designed to get you to have doubts about Trump. It's specifically designed to make you afraid to publicly proclaim your support for Trump. It is about you beginning to be afraid to support Trump because of the reaction you're going to get from people who are being treated all this salacious stuff. Because they can't get to where they want to go if Trump's approval numbers hang in the mid-40s or higher. They've got to get him down to where they got George W. Bush. They've got to get him down to where they had Nixon. Because there is no indicting a sitting president. They can't indict all this talk about the SDNY indicting Trump. That's not till he leaves office.
It's truly amazing that the Democrats keep recycling what they believe are successful strategies. But President Donald J. Trump, in his first election, he blew all that up. And they still went back to the past. They said, well, we can lie about people. We have the media. We have academia. We have Hollywood on our side. We can threaten people. And then if they get out of hand and start getting smart to what's happening, we'll censor them. But now America knows. They know the game now. I think it's a little late for the Democrats. You may remember January 6th at the Capitol. One or two people might remember that. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is in therapy over it. She went public with that. She said it was kind of like being in war. I'm not making it up. That's the beauty of the left. You no longer have to be sarcastic or satirical. All you have to do is read their actual quotes and people go, come on, you're just doing that. No, that's the truth. Grown men and women in Congress are very confused about reality right now. And that's one of the reasons many of them will not be returning, because politically we'll never support them again. The Justice Department has seized about $90,000 from John Sullivan. Now, if you listen to this show, you know who John Sullivan is. If you watch CNN, you probably don't know. Or maybe you do, but you think he's something he's not. John is a liberal agitator who egged on the January 6th protest. He also video recorded. I've seen all of the videos, by the way. There's about seven of them out there. He also filmed and video recorded the shooting, the killing of Ashley Babbitt. Now, Judicial Watch just sued D.C. for the records about the U.S. Capitol Police shooting, because something that most people in the news media are not telling you is all these records have been sealed. And that's another mark of a communist regime. Whether it's voting, whether it's an issue with one of their representatives, they just seal the records. So when you and I, we the people, say, well, can't we just see everything to see what really happened? Well, it turns out that he sold video to different news organizations, including CNN. He's 25 years old. And what is on some of the video that people haven't seen is He's shown encouraging supporters of then-President Donald Trump from the entrance of the Capitol all the way to the moment when Ashley Babbitt loses her life. So he is truly, and this is what, when you hear the term paid instigator or paid agitator, or another term is paid facilitator, this is the type of individual they're talking about. You know, go to this rally, go to this event, find people that can be manipulated verbally or in other ways, and push them in the right direction. So when we videotape it, so when we take witnesses' statements, we can keep the lie going that it was an armed insurrection, even though it wasn't. So finally, the DOJ received forfeiture search and seizure warrants, took about 90,000, it was 89,000 and change, from Sullivan's J.P. Morgan Chase account, and $1,000 from another account, because it was proven by witnesses, friends, and his own video that he was there to start trouble. This is why so many people, conservatives, were saying that this was more of a setup, because gullible people ended up trespassing where they shouldn't have been and were let in by police, than anything else. Yet 400 people were arrested. John was arrested the first day and released without bail. But the guy who was smoking pot under the Capitol Dome, you can go look up his name if you want, the one that went viral, he was in jail for 40 days. That's it. That's it. He smoked a doobie in the Capitol. And in Washington, D.C., where they want to legalize pot, they put him in three different jails. And then finally, his family figured out what was going on, that he was being targeted because he's a big Trump supporter. He's also a journalist. So, again, there are so many fascinating stories from January 6th, which is sad because we only get the narrative. Even Rolling Stone, this is a quote from Rolling Stone. John's language was so violent and dangerous that even Black Lives Matter voted him out. Now, if you go through some of the history of this, videos, photos, he also worked with and for Black Lives Matter for a time. Rolling Stone went on to say, certainly no legitimate news company would hire a liability like him. Like so much going on, we have to look at the bigger picture and what else is happening. Yet there he was on CNN. Well, you know, I'm just a journalist. I'm just trying to do this. And people bought it. And one more note that no one talks about, and it just bothers me because the news media knows this. John's father is a retired major general in the United States Air Force. And that's always conveniently left out. I think it's unfair. So we are getting closer to the truth across the entire spectrum of the past year or so. Pick a topic, pick an event that we have had the narrative pounded into us, pounded into the school kids, pounded into the teachers, pounded into woke businesses. And piece by piece, it's starting to break apart, and the American people are waking up. Here's Rush.
You heard the name John Sullivan? Gateway Pundit's website, they posted video of an Antifa activist named John Sullivan. This was yesterday. That was recorded after the attack on the Capitol. This guy talking about how he tries to blend into the crowd. This is a guy who was arrested, a Black Lives Matter Antifa operative, arrested for the Capitol riot, caught on tape admitting that he posed as a fake Trump supporter and a fake reporter. CNN even interviewed this guy as a witness on the night of the riot, and he's a phony. He's a fake. He's Antifa Black Lives Matter made to look like a Trump supporter. So yesterday on the Gateway Pundit website, they posted video of this guy, John Sullivan, recorded after the attack on the Capitol. This guy Sullivan talking about how he tries to blend into the crowd. The portion of video here is coming up.
It's all fake. I learned that. already. I'm going to wear a Trump hat. I bought one today. I was wearing a Trump hat at the Trump rally during the daytime because I was like, nah, that ain't happening, bro. Oh, yeah, I was just a journalist, but I use that all the time. Yeah, I'm just a journalist. I'm here recording. I got my camera on my shoulder. Literally have my big-ass camera on my shoulder right here.
I got my camera on my shoulder right here. I can easily fake them out. I can make it myself look like a journalist, make myself look like a Trump supporter. So here we have this clown admitting what we all knew. Antifa, Black Lives Matter set this up using themselves as fake Trump supporters and fake journalists. Then, over on CNN, on the night of January 6th, Anderson Cooper interviewed this guy as if he was a reporter who witnessed Trump supporters rioting. Here's Anderson Cooper.
John, you filmed this moment on your phone. Just can you describe what happened?
Yeah, so basically all the protesters kind of stormed to get into the chamber. We tried to get into the main entrance right when you walk down the hallway.
So he's acting like a Trump supporter in this interview with Anderson Cooper, who is a journalist extraordinaire, right? I mean, this guy values his journalist credentials as much as any of them do. And he's interviewing a fake who's making CNN look like a bunch of idiots. This guy, John Sullivan, pretending to be in this interview as if he's a reporter slash Trump supporter who merely witnessed Trump supporters rioting. And they still want to maintain this fraud that Trump caused all of this? There's too much evidence now to indicate that that didn't happen.
So here we are, May 26th, 2021. Millions of Americans have known about this. There was Rush talking about the truth exposed in January. But the narrative, armed insurrection. We need to change the definition of domestic terrorists. We need to include the red hats, the Trumpers, and people buy it. And again, if we had a news media with guts, or if they weren't compromised, Anderson Cooper's a great example. Think about this. Think about all the journalists that tune in to Rush and did regularly for years to get their show prep. They certainly weren't getting it in their newsroom. All the interns were on their iPhone playing games or selfieing themselves. So you're listening to Rush. You hear Rush say this in January. You would think at least one journalist in the United States would say, hey, maybe this isn't what the Democrats are saying it is. And all those dumb sellout Republicans on the Senate floor, maybe it isn't what it appears to be. I mean, I heard this John Sullivan guy. What's his deal? Well, they don't care because their mission is accomplished. Hurt Trump, protect Biden. We'll be right back. This is the Rush Limbaugh Show on the EIB Network, and the number is 800-282-2882. My name is Ken Matthews. I am your guide for the remainder of the week, and I'm thrilled to be here. Not happy about this bad news, though. It keeps getting worse out in San Jose. Now they're confirming, Santa Clara Sheriff just confirmed 8 people killed, 7 victims, and, of course, the shooter was killed as well. All we know at this point is the shooter was a man. And they have also confirmed, the fire department has confirmed, he apparently lit his home on fire before he went to the train yard. It was a light rail yard, VTA it's called, I believe. And that's all we know at the moment. We'll get you stuff as we hear it. 800-282-2882. Earlier we were talking about the mess at the border. One of my congressmen was at the border a couple weeks ago, and he was doing some live reports on my program in Pennsylvania, and it was wonderful. It was stuff that you just don't hear, and it's amazing when some of these members of Congress and some of the organizations that are pro-border security go out and cover these events, you get more information than if the news goes. And just you learn all this stuff, like what's going on in the rivers And there's something for everybody in the Democrat Party that they should be upset about with open borders, like the sewage being dumped in the rivers and the pollution and just all the garbage and the fuel and all the stuff that involves people fighting to get over the border at several different points, and people aren't talking about it. And then today we find out that people were being flown in, children were being flown in to Tennessee. And that happens on a regular basis around the country. If you remember under Obamianism, he did the same thing. He said, get him in El Paso or wherever or on the border of Cali or Arizona and then fly them or relocate them via bus. You may remember those photographs with the lines of buses that the government, they took some more of our tax money and they paid for to relocate these people with so-called sponsors or family members or whatever. This should be a monumental concern to any American citizen. The myth is that if you're against illegals pouring into the country, PHIs, people here illegally, if you're against that, somehow you're against immigration. Now, thinking people know that's just a word game and it's propaganda. I don't know anyone here legally, whether they're from Haiti, regardless of where they're from, South America, Haiti, former Eastern Bloc countries, that's here legally, that's excited about the wall coming down or the wall not being finished. Again, another myth perpetuated by the news media. Here's Donna in Frederick, Maryland. Donna, you're on the Rush Limbaugh Show.
Hi, Ken. Your neighbor to the south here in Frederick. You know, one of the things that frustrates me with the immigration policies. Now, we have Montgomery County in Maryland. That is a quote-unquote sanctuary city.
I remember.
It needs to be abolished. It all needs to go away. And any Democrat who elected this administration ought to be worrying about their own children, because the people they elected sure aren't. And even some on the right, you know, the Rhino Toves, we know who they are. I think the point is that we don't know who's paying for this. And if it was as transparent, a word they like to use, then we'd know how they're coming in, what they're flying in on, or in our case, many of the people are being bussed in to our area. And I just want to say it's a never-ending, you know, roller coaster ride with the left. They say one thing, they do another. They promise everything, they deliver nothing. And then they blame everyone else. And it is time for we the people to have our great awakening before they try and push their great reset, which is going to be taking everything away from us, our money, our freedom, you name it. We won't have America anymore. So I suggest to all the people who elected these Marxists that we're dealing with, wake up and see what's happening for not just your sakes, for your kids' sakes, their kids' sakes.
Donna,
and
that's
God bless America.
Thank you for your call. Great call, and it's a wonderful point. And Donna would know because Maryland and Delaware, Maryland in particular, have cartel presence there. The cartels are all over the country now. They've pushed so far into the country. That's something else that's not being talked about. And you have cartel initiations at schools. You have school districts being forced to take students. And it's heartbreaking because there are good people coming over the border and they're getting mixed up with the bad actors. And that's what's so frustrating. So the 13-year-old who just wants to come to America and maybe his parents sent him on the journey, which I think is crazy, but they did. Now he's here and people are showing him compassion, like the Border Patrol, like our country. He just wants to get an education, yet there's so much illegal activity in this country and so many illegals that are a part of it, like the cartels, they'll try to jump him into a gang. This is the heartbreaking part of the story that no one's covering. We'll be right back. Coming up in hour three of the show, awesome story about some entrepreneurial teenagers that they sound like they've read the Rush Revere series when they were kids. They're trying to promote patriotism in their community using their small business. That's all coming up. And more of the truth, which might shock you if you're used to watching MSNBC or CNN. It's all on the way. 800-282-2882. The Rush Limbaugh Show. Thank you for joining us for Hour 3 on the EIB Network. The number is 800-282-2882. You know, it's a rhetorical question, but why is everybody so afraid of China? Well, communist China. And that's something else that the left, with a sleight of hand, and they do it with everything. The left does this with everything. And the media plays right along. If you're against illegal immigration, they say you're anti-immigrant. And if you do not want to be communist like China's government is communist, it's the communist Chinese that are oppressing the people, treating women like garbage, treating children like garbage, and keeping hundreds of thousands in camps that the media can't get into cover. It's the communist Chinese, or as Rush would say, the Chi-Coms. They're the ones that are problematic. They're the ones that have the 100-year plan. They're the ones that want to dominate the entire world. Despite what you learn in history class from your liberal professor, the communists want to take over the entire world. And it's amazing when you start following the money, where communist Chinese money ends up and how many Chinese workers and researchers in recent years, say the last three, have been deported or caught gathering information for their motherland, communist China. And with open arms, because let's face it, nobody in a college environment, nobody on a college board, no college president wants to be thought of as not woke or anti-Asian. So there's all kinds of Chinese men and women working in labs and collaborating. Some of them are collaborating even on Defense Department projects. And no one wants to go the full length to vet some of these individuals. So that sets the stage for that. So we've separated communist China, the CCP. They're the ones with the big shiny military and the marching and the showing off of the missiles. We're not talking about the people. Just like in any dictatorship, around any tyrannical government, the people, they're being persecuted. And that's something else you won't hear about in China, because in China, they do, and I'm not saying they took this idea from Biden, he took it from them, but in China, they do what social media has been doing to conservatives or people that question health policies or lockdowns, or people that question an election. In China, they go bye-bye. Now, they do that here, not literally yet, because I don't see any, you know, black SUVs around my house. Notice I didn't say black helicopters, because then you'd think I was a conspiracy theorist. And my neighbor does have a black SUV. And every time I see it, I think Secret Service is rolling down my street. Said, this is it. Someone saw my blog. But seriously, we have a big problem on our hands. We have a president who I believe is influenced way too much by China, who has shifted to targeting Russia, because that's all part of the plan. Russia, that darn Trump, he's a Russian spy. Remember that? And then we have people that are afraid to comment on China, like a third of Congress. This is why it's so important that as if you happen to be a citizen journalist or if you are a curious listener like I am, I was always a curious listener of Rush. Rush would be talking about something, and as he was talking about it, I'd be like at a fever pitch, researching it. Oh, my God, this is where, oh, my God, this is, and I'd be researching it more than, there's more research in my house probably than there is at CNN. And there's a lot of people like that now because something's not adding up. It's not adding up with China. It's not adding up with, okay, we're going to close down this pipeline. We're going to let the Russians run their pipeline through Europe, okay, and then we're going to open up the border. And did you know that the southern border is the biggest entry point for Chinese fentanyl? You bet it is. Yep. And what I would do is see what Chinese lobbyists, Chinese companies have relationships with former or current people in Washington, D.C. When you do, and you look at the billions of dollars that they give to American universities donating on an annual basis, you might question the whole Chinese dynamic with this current administration. Now, Fast and Furious, they're calling it F9 because there's nine of them. I love that series, by the way. I'm so sad that one guy got in the car accident because I always liked that series. It's just a, I don't know, it's just a fun series. At the time, it's just a fun series, the Fast and Furious series, whether you're into the whole car thing or not. Well, John Cena, he was, first of all, I'm so impressed. He was speaking, I guess he was speaking, do they call it Mandarin or Taiwanese or whatever? But he was speaking during an interview, and he talked about his love for China, and then he called Taiwan a country during an interview. Well, that was an accident because China believes, they don't believe that. And when you're in that neck of the woods, you got to do what you're told. It's like being at a Democrat party meeting. You know, shut up and do what you're told. So the controversy unfolded after John Cena, who plays the brother of Vin Diesel. And if you're familiar with the series, you know that Vin has a brother. Gave an interview to the Taiwanese broadcaster TVBS promoting the film. And he was all excited. He says, Taiwan is the first country that can watch Fast and Furious. Now, from what I understand, did he give it in Taiwanese? Someone told me he can speak that language, and that's very impressive. Taiwan is a self-governed democrat island, but China claims it has its sovereign territory, despite the two sides being ruled separately. You get the drift. So rather than just when he got the heat, rather than John Cena saying exactly what I just said, well, you know, don't take it personally, but it is a self-governed democrat island. He said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I love China. Kind of reminds me of LeBron James in a way. You know, LeBron always has some great comments about law enforcement and other things going on in America, but you just can't get anybody in the NBA to, you know, say anything about China. It's just fascinating. But I think that's what we need to do. We need to find out how much money. It's out there. It's out there. All the information's out there. People would be shocked at the real estate, the factories, the broadcast outlets. And the most shocking thing for me, there's over 50 companies that have Chinese ownership or interest that are actually doing business with defense contractors. That's the part that really worries me. And in what on what planet do you think that communist Chinese have our best interest as Americans? I'm talking about the Chinese communist government and how they look at America. Do you really think they put America first? Heck no. That's probably why they get along so well with the Biden regime. Biden stopped putting America first, well, about 47 years ago, but technically he stopped soon as his campaign ended. Soon as he thought he won the election, he stopped putting America first. Oh, we don't need to do this anymore. Gosh, I was getting tired of those. I was getting tired of those speeches building up America. Man, that was uncomfortable. Now, speaking of the NBA, in typical fashion, Rush was ahead of this curve. He talked about this back in 2019.
Nike has withdrawn Houston Rockets sneakers and other merchandise from stores in major Chi-Com cities after the general manager of the Rockets tweeted in support of Hong Kong pro-democracy protesters. So they've done it again. This time, you can't buy Houston Rockets logoed sneakers in China. Nike has pulled why? Because they don't want to irritate the Chi-Coms. So they're helping to destroy a brand. Well, a subsidiary, the NBA is the brand. The Rockets are one of the franchises. So they're punishing the Houston Rockets because of the tweet from the general manager, all to make sure the Chi-Com government doesn't get mad at them. Rockets general manager Daryl Morey had defended the Hong Kong protesters in a simple little tweet, which he then retracted, by the way. He then posted a statement saying he hoped that those Chinese fans who were upset will know that offending or misunderstanding them was not his intention. So I didn't mean to stand up for freedom. Please, I didn't mean to offend any of you who like slavery. I didn't mean to offend any of you who like having your human rights oppressed. I didn't mean to offend any of you who can't even say what you think. Oh, my God, please forgive me. I pull a tweet back. Doesn't matter. Chi-Com still say, you die. You die if you continue to sell logo shoes. We don't want to die. Okay, we'll yank the Rockets' shoes out of there. Major Chinese online retail sites include Alibaba. You know who runs Alibaba? The founder, a guy named Jack Ma. You ever seen Jack Ma? You'd need four of him to reach the rim on a basketball goal. Tiny little guy. He's one of the wealthiest people in China. Alibaba and JD.com also removed Rockets merchandise. If you taking it off Alibaba is like taking it off Amazon in China. And a search on the site for sneakers with just the NBA logo turned up zilch. Zero, nada results. The NBA is said to make $4 billion in revenue in China. The Chinese market's also crucial in Nike's business. Remember what Jason Whitlock said, that the shoe companies are running the NBA and college basketball. And the Chinese are using the shoe companies to infiltrate the culture, the pop culture of the United States. So Nike, I mean, you keep giving us a reason to stand up for Betsy Ross, to stand up for America, to push back against you.
Just follow the money. Rush knew, then and now. It's 2021, and we should be able to use our cell phones for all the phone calls and text messages and web searches we want to make for one low price. But the big cell phone service companies like to charge you extra the moment you go over their monthly maximum, whatever that is. One company holds true to a clear $30 a month plan. That's Pure Talk. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data, which is plenty for you to do all the information syncing, binge watching, and more. They do it for that $30 monthly price. If you're with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, switching to Pure Talk, it's going to save you money. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family of four over $800 a year. And the best part of that is you don't have to sacrifice coverage. That's because it's on the exact same network as one of those providers. And switching is so easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and with one cell phone call to Pure Talk, you can get started today. When you do switch to Pure Talk, you get that unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. When Rush heard the story of Pure Talk and how they handle their customer service, all here in the U.S., he started sharing the Pure Talk story. He saw it as a benefit to you. Their CEO is a U.S. veteran who understands what real service means. You'll get to experience that level of care when you talk to their customer service team. You do that by making a single call on your cell phone. Just 4 digits, dial #250 and say keywords Pure Talk to save 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. This is the Rush Limbaugh Show, and the number is 800-282-2882. My name is Ken Matthews, your guide for today. And don't forget, another exciting episode available today from the series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. Bo Snerdly is the host of the podcast that's all about Rush, with a new episode out today. You can download it. Pretty cool stuff. Perhaps you've heard the first two. There's a new episode, again, available today, and it's brought to you by MyPillow and Tunnel to Towers Foundation. They are sponsoring the series. Let's grab a phone call. James in Virginia Beach, Virginia. James, you're on the Rush Limbaugh Show. Welcome.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm feeling good all under.
Yeah, I'm just recently it just seems like no matter what Joe Biden does, just never seems to surprise me. But yesterday, I think by him having George Floyd's family to the White House and glorifying what a big hero he was, I think just really makes me sick. I think Joe Biden ought to have some veterans or some people who are some really true heroes at the White House and praise them and honor them instead of these thugs that put the policemen in a very, very bad predicament where they've got to use deadly force. And now all of a sudden, the police are the bad guys and the crooks are the ones that are the heroes. And this isn't the first isolated incident we've seen of this. It's happened several times, and Biden and Obama with Michael Brown and the rest of them, that, you know, what don't people understand is if you behave and you listen to the police, what they tell you what to do, 99% of this stuff wouldn't even happen. But it just disgusts me to see Biden bring all this to the White House and glorify these people.
You know, James, I agree with you 1,000%. I thought it was disgusting as I watched that. And you know what else the leftists do in particular? Obama did it. The Biden administration does it. They are rewarding bad behavior, and that is setting a bad example. You know, you look at the people, you look at people in any community, and as of late, there's been some wonderful stories. I had them up on my social media. Wonderful stories of young black men helping their community, helping law enforcement. And there was another wonderful story where a black gentleman went back after he got out of the hospital. The police officer saved his life. And he went back after the hospital, broke down in tears, and he had this wonderful wonderful exchange. And he said, I almost feel, this is a true thing, you should, if it hasn't been banned yet, because it does make Biden look like a moron, which usually gets banned by social media. But this guy, probably, I'm thinking 30s maybe in his 40s, looked pretty fit. And he said, I'm so embarrassed because I just presumed, because you were a white cop, that, and see, that is the result of 8 years of Obamianism right there. You know, we need to defund the police. No, we don't. No. I think we should defund the teachers union, and I think we should defund the DOJ, and we should defund the FBI. But the police? Heck no. The people with boots on the ground in our own community? No. But every time you spotlight, I understand the tragic aspect of George Floyd, and I understand the overreach of poorly trained police or just the few bad cops that are out there. And it's despicable. Bad cops have no place, and they shouldn't. But that said, every time we set up another Mike Brown memorial, we ignore the thousands of men and women in these communities, particularly young men of color, that are, they're doing the right thing. We ignore them. The news media ignores them. They're getting decent grades. They're role models for the younger kids in their family. They're not flipping off the cops. They're not spraying F the police on a police car. So all of them get ignored. And a guy who lied about hands up, don't shoot, he's got memorials. I don't know if he's getting a stamp, but there's been talk of it. or maybe it's already happened. Somebody was speaking about in the Biden administration, I don't know who it was, that there should be a stamp for some of these situations. And I thought, are you crazy? You're weeding out the military. You're making the police job harder. You're making it harder for good teachers. Yet you're doing this. You know, there are some good governors out there in the United States. They're running free states. They love the Constitution. They have functioning brains, and they're using them. DeSantis of Florida is a great example of that. That's a wonderful state, and it is still a free state, like Texas. And there's a great article on rushlimbaugh.com. It's going to get you energized, because Governor DeSantis of Florida just signed landmark big tech legislation against the big tech that's targeting conservatives or targeting anything that doesn't go along with Biden's regime talking points. So they're going to be penalized. And I know sometimes people go, but they're private. They're a private kid. But they're being treated like public. You see, if you want to be private, okay, then you'll be treated that way. But they're not treated that way by the government, in particular, rhinos and leftists. So that's the key. If every private industry was treated like the small business man or woman in America, it would be a whole different ball of wax. But Mark Zuckerberg and the idiot from Twitter and the other fools, they're getting special treatment, especially from this administration. And they should get special penalties if they're going to damage the dialogue between Americans that we have a right to under our Constitution. There's all kinds of stories that are out. You can look them up, how they control information and the flow of information on every major issue. And it would scare you. And then you might scratch your head and go, no wonder I'm not finding out about that. How many times have you heard someone say, I Googled it, I didn't find it. I don't know what you're talking about. I Googled it. Snope said. It's all by design. If someone says to you, I just checked Snopes, and you're wrong, I don't know if you want to waste any more conversation on them. Because to me, the minute someone says, I looked it up on Snopes, wow, that speaks volumes. And when a teacher says that, when a teacher says, go to factcheck.org, oh my God, what's happened to our school system? Anyway, the next level of communism that I believe the Biden regime is, and Obama did a lot of this. Obamianism really brought this in. I think one of the reasons Obama was allowed to get away with being a tyrant is because, for the most part, he was always so polite. He had this polite, attractive, witty guy who had good timing on the late night talk shows. So when you would say to someone, you know, he's going to destroy this, destroy that, eliminate this, eliminate that. No way. I just saw him on Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, my God. He was so funny. What was funnier is the way Jimmy Kimmel kisses leftist butt. That's really funny. He has no credibility left. But anyway, here's what's going on now. And this is from an article in Axios. This is the part we warned you about. That John Kerry is the presidential climate envoy, right? So John Kerry's in the mix. Susan Rice is in the mix. Barack Obama is an advisor. He lives two blocks from the White House. True. And then Kamala Harris and all her cronies. And then you got AOC when they pick her up at daycare and she goes back to the Senate or the House, excuse me. She's yapping. And now what's happening is the Biden administration is leaning on banks to help reduce U.S. carbon emissions. See, this is how communists think. Look at what we're facing right now, economically, coming out of COVID, all these different issues. And the Biden administration is saying, oh, we got to get rid of these carbon emissions. So they are pressuring banks, and 15 of them, in fact, led by a coal-heavy West Virginia. And the treasurer, Riley Moore, said in West Virginia, he's prepared now to terminate contracts with banks that pull back the fossil fuel industry lending. Because what's happening, that's the other way you're being discriminated against. Oh, you like using gasoline? We'll teach you. Think about this. This sounds like Russia in the 50s. It sounds like China now. Let's go back more than a decade. Rush nailed this. Listen to this.
If you happen to live in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Colorado, and even parts of Indiana, Barack Obama wants the coal industry in which you work to go bankrupt. He intends to bankrupt it. He also intends to cause skyrocketing energy prices. He made these comments earlier in the year with an editorial board meeting that was recorded, the San Francisco Chronicle.
What I've said is that we would put a cap and trade system in place that is more, that is as aggressive, if not more aggressive, than anybody else's out there. So if somebody wants to build a coal power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all that greenhouse gas that's being emitted.
He's going to bankrupt them. He's got a cap and trade program. Al Gore, this is to save the planet. He's going to bankrupt them. By definition, they will bankrupt. But that's not by itself the single most damaging aspect of what he said. This is.
When I was asked earlier about the issue of coal, you know, under my plan of a cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket.
So he wants, folks, he wants to bankrupt the coal industry. Now, I've never seen a presidential candidate actually admit that he wants to destroy elements of the U.S. economy. He did, he said it, and now he wants skyrocketing gas prices. You remember when gas, or energy prices, do you remember when gasoline spiked up to $4? The only thing Obama said about it, well, I don't know, the only thing that bothers me is how quickly we got it up there. But he didn't do one damn thing to lower gasoline prices. He didn't care that they were that high. His only stated concern was that they got up there so quickly. Here he is, same interview with the San Francisco Chronicle editorial board, January 2008.
Regardless of what I say about whether coal is good or bad, because I'm capping greenhouse gases, coal power plants, you know, natural gas, you name whatever the plants were, whatever the industry was, they would have to retrofit their operations. That will cost money. They will pass that money on to consumers. If you can't persuade the American people that, yes, there is going to be some increase in electricity rates on the front end, but that over the long term, because of combinations of more efficient energy usage and changing light bulbs and more efficient appliances, but also technology improving how we can produce clean energy, that the economy will benefit. If we can't make that argument persuasively enough, you can be Lyndon Johnson. You can be the master of Washington. You're not going to get that done.
Well, but it'd be nice if you'd have tried to persuade us, sir. The thing is, he didn't try to persuade us about this. This has remained a stealth plan. I mean, we've known he's had a carbon trade plan, a carbon trade-off plan. All the liberal Democrats are touting that. We didn't know that by design it's to bankrupt the coal industry, and we didn't know that by design it is to cause electricity rates to skyrocket. Biden, on the campaign trail, a rope line, September 17th, gets a question. Wind and solar flourishing here in Ohio, so why are you supporting coal?
We're not supporting clean coal. Guess what? China's building two dirty coal plants. And it's polluting the United States. It's causing people to die. The first guy to introduce a global warming bill was me 22 years ago. The first guy to support solar energy was me 26 years ago. It came out of Delaware. But guess what? China's going to burn 300 years of bad coal unless we figure out how to clean their coal up, because it's going to ruin your lungs, and there's nothing we can do about it. No coal plants here in America. Build them if they're going to build them over there. Make them clean, because you're killing them.
All right, so we're going to leave the coal industry to the Chi-Coms, and we're going to make noises. We're going to, like, the Chi-Coms are going to listen to us. Hey, Hey, Hu Jintao, clean up your coal, Biden. Hey, buddy, old pal, clean up your coal. Stand up. Who? Let's everybody see. Oh, you don't tell a communist to stand up. Communists tell you to sit down. For the past 6 years, we have been hearing about how we've got to really harm Walmart. We've got to punish big drug. We have to punish big oil. We have to punish big energy. We have to punish Walmart. We have, I know they didn't say they wanted to bankrupt these industries, but they were on the enemies list. The Democrat Party has made it plain who their enemies are, and their enemies are those things that comprise the engine and the fuel of capitalism. They do want to shut down, down talk radio. That industry, they do want to shut down, and they've made no bones about it.
The number is 800-282-2882, the EIB network. My name is Ken Matthews, your guide today on the Rush Limbaugh Show. Today's EIB high note is perfect because Memorial Day is right around the corner. And it's about six teens in Elkhorn, Nebraska that started a small business to boost patriotism in their community. It's called Flying Old Glory, and here's how it works. Every American holiday, the teens get up at dawn and place an American flag at the end of their customer's driveway in the yard. They use a piece of rebar and PVC pipe, all purchased, measured, and cut and assembled by the boys themselves. They return at dusk to collect the flags until the next holiday. And they do that every holiday. The service costs $45. Mason Miller, one of the teen entrepreneurs, explained why they wanted to start this business.
It's always really nice to drive up a street and see a bunch of flags flying in a row.
Yes, it is. And every American has that in them, and every conservative, every listener of this show, you know how it feels when you pull up into a street or a business and there's all this Americana there. This is exactly why Rush wrote his Rush Revere children's series.
Remember, doing these books just to write books, there's actually a mission behind this. This country is just wonderful. There's no reason to be ashamed of this country. It's not perfect, but it's the best place on earth to be born, the best place on earth to live, the best place on earth that man has ever devised for himself to thrive in the history of humanity. The absolute best. There's no reason to be ashamed, to feel dishonored. There's no reason to hate this country, and yet that's all being taught. The truth of the founding of this country has been distorted, in some cases lied about now. And so this is one small effort to get to young people. They're never going to listen to the program, obviously, but it's a way to get to them in a non-politically charged way, the truth of this country. And I think back to when I was in kindergarten and grade school and learning this stuff, and since I started this project, I've actually asked myself, what kind of person would I be if I had not been taught what I was taught? If I hadn't been taught patriotism, if I hadn't been taught love of country, if I hadn't been taught about the great people, the founders, and people who followed them, what would I be? Well, I wouldn't be qualified to do this program. This program would not be a success if I had not been taught what I was taught. If I had been taught what's taught today, I'd just be your average run-of-the-mill person in the media that thinks this country is unjust and immoral and has got to pay a price for all the mean things it's done to people. And that's not what people want to hear about their country. But they're being taught that. And at a young age, if that's all they're taught, that's what they're going to think. And then they're going to grow up thinking the country is in vast need of reform. And it's just an absolute shame. If you love the country, and I do, and if you're proud of it, and I am, there's no reason for anybody not to be. You know, I'm naive, admittedly so, and I also live in great conflict. For example, one part of me says, I don't understand how people could hate this country. Then the other side of me says, yeah, I do, if they're taught it. Maybe African Americans, that's a huge hill to climb, slavery, and to turn something like that into love. I can understand that intellectually. But at some point, you have to realize that was then, that was way back then, and we're one of the few countries that's ever abolished it. and gone to war with ourselves to do so. Well, there's even a positive ramification from that. But the opportunity, the freedom, I don't understand hating it. I literally don't understand elite leftists and their hate for the country. To me, it's irrational. But then the other side of me understands their irrationality because I know who they are. And I understand what their inner needs are. And so I just, but it still makes no sense to me. And so the mission here is to try to get to these kids before they are totally gone.
What a beautiful message, as is so often the case with Rush about the country. That is another thing that made Rush so iconic, with his connection to Americanism and patriotism. I think people found comfort in that. It really is refreshing, and things are so crazy in leftist media that you go down the dial and you just, if you could just find something that doesn't make you feel like crap. Some announcer or some host that doesn't say you ought to be ashamed of yourself, you American. And then the list of everything. And that's why I think so many people love Rush. We'll be right back. Now, speaking about the Rush Revere series, I remember Rush and Catherine donating more than 30,000 of those books to schools and public libraries upon request. I got them for my sons. And those guys in Elkin were talking about putting the flags out. I have to say, as a dad, that was some of the best memories I had when my sons were in Scouts, Cub Scouts, Weeblos, and Boy Scouts, and we would take flags around for patriotic holidays, and we would partner with veterans and put flags out. God bless you. See you tomorrow.